Praise the Lord. How y'all doing this morning? Happy Father's Day. I said Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know what? I want to share a word with you this morning. And we have a lot of men in this church. And we know, guys, that we are here to honor the fathers this morning. This is Father's Day. That's what we're here for. Amen. But there's a lot of men in this house who want to be fathers that can't. There's a lot of men in this house who want to be fathers who just haven't had the opportunity yet. Amen. Come on now. So how about we just talk to the men today, because you got to be a man before you can be a father. You got to be a man before you can be a father. Because if you ain't a man, you're not going to make much of a father. Come on, church. Come on, church. Amen. So I want to start off with Joel chapter 3, verse 9. I got one verse for you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the men in this house. We thank you, God, for the fathers in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone agreed and said, amen, 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 amen. Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Say amen when you get there. Just kidding. It's one verse. It's not hard to find. Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Look on this screen up here, y'all. I want to show you something. He said, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Wake them up. Wake up the... We got any mighty men in here? We got 4 or 5. Okay, I'll take it. We got 4 or 5. He said, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. I love that one line right there where it says, wake up the mighty men. Don't you? Don't you love that? Can I tell you, 90% of the men in the United States say they believe in God. 90%. Glory to God. 5 out of 6 men refer to themselves as Christians. But actually, only 35% of the men in the United States go to church on a regular basis with their wives. That means that only 1 out of 5 women have their husbands with them in church. I'm going to let that one sink in for a minute. That means that only 1, look down your row. That means that only 1 out of 5 women have their husbands with them in church. So if you're a wife or you're married and you're in here with your husband, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Somehow, we have to figure out how to fix that statistic. Somehow, church, and I want Restoration Church to break that. I want Restoration Church to break that. I want us to be different. We need men in this church. Only 1 out of 5 women have their husbands with them in church on an average Sunday in the United States of America. There's a major disconnect. Listen to me very carefully. There is a major disconnect between men and church. And what's amazing is that this is not true in other religions. Men outnumber women in the Buddhist religion. Men outnumber women in the Hindu religion. Men greatly outnumber women in the Islamic faith, and only in the Christian faith. Listen to me. Only in the Christian faith do women outnumber men. What's going on? What's going on? There's an absence of real men in the church. Real men. I said real men. Somehow there's a disconnect between men and men wanting to be in church. Amen. Why is that? What's going on? Is that how it was in Jesus' day? Something has happened with the men. Where are the risk takers? Where are the risk takers? Where are the real men? I'm not talking about some narrow view. Listen to me very carefully, because I am not talking about some narrow view of masculinity. Amen. And that you got to be like rough and tough and you got to be all this to be a man. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. We have this narrow view of what we think masculinity should look like. I want you to think about Jacob and Esau. They were twins. The Bible says Jacob was a cook and his brother Esau was a hunter. His brother Esau was hairy, and the Bible says that Jacob was smooth skin. Come on, somebody. He was smooth skin. Let's go. And God used them both greatly. Listen, I'm not talking about a style. One of them would have been on the cover of Outdoor magazine, and the other one would have been on the cover of GQ. Huh? One of them was hairy. One of them was smooth skin. Huh? One of them would have been an Outdoors magazine. One of them would have been on the cover of GQ. Esau, well, he was kind of like a redneck hunter. And come on now. Jacob, he was, yeah, that's it. And it's all right. It's all right. You hear me? It's all right. God made us all different. We all don't like the same stuff. Not every man likes sports. Not every man likes the arts. Not every man is into this. Not every man is into that. But can I tell you, God is a big God. I said, God is a big God. Not all men are into the same things. Not all men like the same things. But all men should be connected to the church. All men should be connected to the church. Can I tell you that most men in the Bible wouldn't even fit into the church today? Hallelujah. Most men in the Bible wouldn't even fit into the church today. Jesus' ministry was such a magnet to men. You got to understand what I'm telling you. His ministry was such a magnet to men, so much so that when they had a meeting, they didn't even count the women or the children. And this is not to demise or demean women, and the role of women or limit it in any way. Amen. Not at all. But they didn't even count the women and children. Jesus said, judge my ministry by how many men I'm attracting. Jesus said, judge my ministry by how many men I'm attracting. And that's why in the Bible, when he fed the 5,000 in Matthew 14, 21, look at this. The Bible says there were 5,000 men. They didn't even count the women and the children. It said, as a sub note, children and women besides. 3,000 men were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, I'm going to find me 12 men and I'm going to take over the world. And when he chose those men, he didn't pick religious men. He picked farmers and fishermen that had body odor. They cussed a lot. They were just like, he probably found them at Restoration Church. He found all 12 of them. Come on now. He chose 12 men. He didn't find 12 holy men. He found 12 men, regular guys, guys that are real men, and they were attracted like a magnet to Jesus' ministry. These men got into it. The Bible says that Paul and Peter got into such a fight. You know, you got real men, and they want to hang around a little bit together. We're going to get into it. Look, we're going to start playing basketball. We're going to do something. We're going to have a few words. We're going to say a few things. Somebody's going to get into it, and that's just how it is. Oh, I guess y'all just holy in here this morning, huh? Huh? Y'all act like y'all ain't never played no street ball or got out there and started yelling and hollering at somebody. Everybody's holy on Father's Day in here. What are you talking about? Look at Galatians 2:11. Paul said, I withstood Peter to his face. He said, I withstood Peter to his face. Could you imagine walking in here on a Sunday morning and you walk up and me and Dustin are nose to nose? We're up here screaming at each other. The pastor and, boy, I'm going to bust you up. No, I'm going to bust you up. No, I'm going to, come on, they got into it. They were real men. Have you seen Dustin? He's huge. That dude is a monster. I ain't messing with him. Come on, man. He's like a gentle giant, though. Paul and Peter got into it. He said, I withstood Peter to his face. Amen. I'm going to say it loud and clear. We need you, men. We need you, men. Your wife needs you. Your family needs you. Amen. And here's why it's so important that you follow Jesus closely. Because boys follow men. Here's why you follow Jesus closely, men. Because boys follow men. Amen. Amen. You got people looking. Boys follow men. Well, how do I do it? Thanks for asking. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch this. This is how you do it. He said, be watchful. Everybody say, be watchful.
Be watchful.
Stand firm in the faith.
Stand firm in the faith.
Act like men. There it is. Everybody say that one together.
Act like men.
Act like men. Be strong. Those three words. Act like men. What does that mean? Church, what does that mean? To act like a man. Come on. When the Bible tells us to act like a man, God says the thing that I need from you the most is that you act like a man. Somebody needs to hear this. God said the thing I need from you the most, men, is to act like men. That you would step up every single day and do what a man is supposed to do who loves God. You act like a man. You step up and do what a man's supposed to do every single day that loves God. You act like a man. Be a mighty man. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to give you three things that it doesn't mean. How about that? First thing it means is don't mean act like a woman. We need to learn that in our culture today. We need to learn that in our culture today. The first thing it means to act like a man is don't act like a woman. Don't act like a woman. In other words, don't follow lead. In other words, don't follow lead. If you're going to be a mighty man, then you've got to learn to act like a man. And the way you act like a man is you don't follow, you lead. God has given you a role. Men, he has given you a responsibility. Men, he has given you an accountability. It's your house. It's your marriage. It's your children. It's your family. It's on you more than anybody else in that house. You better act like a man. He said, act like a man. You don't act like a woman. Act like a man. You don't follow, you lead. Men, listen to me. You don't follow, you lead. What does that mean? That's right. You don't follow, you lead. What does that mean? Not just don't follow and lead, but also in 1 Peter 3:7, it means that men are to dwell with their wives in understanding. In an understanding way, church, listen. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. So number two, don't be the weaker vessel. Does that make sense? Thank you. So number two, you don't be the weaker vessel. You pray for your wife as the weaker vessel. The Bible says that she is the weaker vessel. And this is no way, again, to demise or demean the role of the women. You don't know my wife. I'm just telling you. Yeah, we love you, baby. That's right. But he's talking physically. He's talking about physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. You're to act like a man and you're not to be the weaker vessel. I said you act like a man and you are not to be the weaker vessel. Your prayer life is not to be the weaker vessel. Your consecration to God is not to be the weaker vessel. Act like a man. You've got children. You've got a family. You've got all kinds of responsibilities. Act like a man. Hallelujah. Act like a man. Don't be the weaker vessel. Step up. Step up, man. Don't be the weaker vessel. Number three, lose a drama. Don't be a drama queen. Y'all think women, they think women are the only ones that can be drama queens. Oh, all the drama men said, amen. We're just having fun this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. Women ain't the only ones that can be drama queens, bro. Amen. Lose the drama, men. Lose the drama. To act like a man, to be a mighty man, is to not be a drama queen. Men can be drama queens. Conflict in the family, everybody knows they got to walk on pins and needles because you're there. Tone it down a little bit. Tone it down a little bit. Act like a man. Men don't scream and rant and rave and holler and everybody has to walk on eggshells around them. Act like a man. Get full of the Holy Spirit. Let him help you take control of your anger. Amen. Come on. I don't care how successful you are, you do not have the right to be unkind to anybody. I don't care how successful you are. You do not have the right to be unkind to anybody. Turn to somebody and tell them to act like a man. If your wife's sitting next to you, please don't do that. Listen, watch this. To act like a man is to not act like an animal. Oh, come on. I said to act like a man is to not act like an animal. There are 275 times the Bible uses the word beast. David said, when I committed adultery, I was like an animal before you, God. Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with evil spirits, the Bible said he acted like an animal and ran through the woods. Come on now, y'all know the story. He was running through the forest. The Bible said he became like an animal and acted like a beast. To act like a man is to not act like an animal. What does that mean? Animals only care for their own desires. Animals only care for their own desires. You think you've got an animal tamed? You can't tame an animal. You can't tame an animal. You think you got an animal tamed? They want their own desires. It's their own stuff. If you're like an animal as a man, it's my food, it's my sex, it's my chair, it's my needs, it's my appetite, it's my desires, it's me, 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 me. Come on now. You're not a man when you do that. You're an animal. Animals have no manners. Don't act like an animal. Open the door for your wife. You see a man open the door, it's either a new car or a new wife. Don't act like an animal. Get some manners, men. Open the door for your wife. Hallelujah. Don't act like a woman. Act like a man. Don't act like an animal. Act like a man. And lastly, don't act like a boy. Don't act like a boy. You're not a boy anymore. Boys cry for their mommies. Boys cry for their mommies. Boys want their mommies. Your wife is not your mama. Ha ha. Your wife is not your mama. Boys want to be taken care of. Boys want everything. Come on now. Boys want everything. You're not a boy, you're a man. I said you're not a boy, you're a man. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13:11, he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Notice there is a when of childhood, when I was a child, but when I became a man, there's a second when. Some of you need to catch your second when. Some of you need to catch your second when. When I became a man, oh, don't act like a boy. Some of you need to catch your second wind and start putting away those childish things, amen? Stop being stuck in childhood. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. That's what, I'm not going to apologize. That's what little boys do. Men act like men. I said men act like men. Men are the first to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was wrong. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Come on now. That's what men do. Men are the first one to admit they're wrong. Come on, y'all. Amen. Even if you weren't wrong, if you're married, you're wrong anyway, so go ahead and admit it. Yeah. But when I became a man. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I got to run with my buddies. No, you don't. It don't work that way no more. Your family and your family and your children and your wife is your number one responsibility. Your number one priority is your wife and your family. Nothing else. I put away childish things. Come on now. You're young only once, but you can be immature forever. I said, you're young but once. You are young but once, but you can be immature forever. Yeah. It's really scary. You're young but once, but you can be immature forever. I want you to understand that, guys. So we know what act like a man doesn't mean. Don't act like a woman. Don't act like an animal. Don't act like a boy. Be a man. Take responsibility. Come on. What does that mean? Well, that means this. 3 out of 4 of the descriptions of what it means to act like a man are military terms. 1 Corinthians 16:13, he says, first, be watchful. Everybody say, be watchful. Listen to me, men. To be watchful means to keep your eyes open. I said to be watchful means to keep your eyes open. Pay attention. It has to do with the Old Testament cities that were fortified. And the only way that the people could get inside and get rest inside and have peace at night was because they knew there were watchmen on the walls watching the city, that was protecting the city from any impeding danger, that was trying to get in, destroy their homes, that was trying to get in and destroy their families. And God says, I've called you, gentlemen. This ain't playtime. He said, I've called you, gentlemen. This ain't playtime. It's time to be watchmen. There's families under attack and under distress and in trouble. And here's what the Lord wants me to tell you this morning. Be watchful. Get up on that wall. Pay attention to your family. Pay attention to the media. Pay attention to the internet. Be watchmen. Go up in their rooms. They can have privacy when they pay rent. Come on. But since they don't pay rent, there's no thing called privacy. Go on your computer. There's no codes on the phones. You go in, you're a watchman. And it's not your wife's responsibility. It is not your wife's responsibility. It's your responsibility. You got to be a watchman for your house. Amen. What kind of music are they listening to? What kind of language are they listening to? Be watchmen. Come on, somebody. Be watchmen over your house. The Bible says that Eli raised 2 sons. And you know what? I couldn't believe the wording. So I want you to look at this in 1 Samuel in 2:12. Couldn't believe the wording. It says that Eli raised 2 sons. And it says this, look at this. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. How would you like to raise your children and have the Bible concerning the children you raised call them worthless? Says the sons of Eli, they were worthless men. And when your kids want to bring stuff up in the house, you got to be a watchman. Amen. You don't restrain them. Here's what I want to tell you. He said that the sons of Eli were worthless men. And the Bible says this of Eli. Look at this in 3:13. Look at this next scripture. And it tells why. Listen to me, men. Look at me. It tells why these were worthless sons. His sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. He did not restrain them. The word restrains means that there was no measured effort on his part to even resist the wickedness of his children. There was no measured effort on Eli's part to even resist the wickedness of his children. You have to be watchmen. And when your kids want to bring stuff in and you don't restrain them, and there's no measured effort on your part to resist the evil, I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming, church. You have to be watchmen over your family and your house. You can't always be best friends with your kids. You can't always be best friends with your children. They need dads. They need men. Boys follow men. And if men get it right, boys will follow. Get off your phone. Get off your couch. Get out of your office. Be a watchman. Come on, somebody. Act like a man. Act like a man. Here we go. Here we go, dads. Here we go. I'm coming. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Next, he says, stand firm in the faith. He says, stand firm in the faith. The Message Bible, it says, hold tight to your convictions. That's what the Message Bible says. It says, stand firm in your faith here. But then he says, hold tight. Hold tight to your convictions. What you believe about the Word of God, that is your convictions. What you believe about marriage. In other words, don't let your theology gravitate towards your behavior. Don't let your theology gravitate towards your behavior, and don't start changing your theology because you've let down your standards and you've changed your convictions. You let your theology gravitate towards your behaviors because we want to change our convictions. I just preached about it the other week. We start moving the line. God draws a line, and then we move the line. God draws a line. Hold tight to your convictions. You don't change your theology because you've dropped your standard on your convictions. Hallelujah. Let the Word of God stand firm on your faith. Let the Word of God be the rock solid thing in this shifting, crazy world we live in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lastly, last one. 1 Corinthians 16:14. It says, let all you do be done in love. Amen. Men, listen to me. That's a hard one for us. We can love with our whole heart, but we have a hard time showing it. Amen. I know some of you men. I know some of y'all. I'm one of you. But it says, let all you do be done in love. That's huge. Huge. James 1:20 says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I just need to talk to some men right now. Matter of fact, I need to talk to some angry men right now. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That simply means that when your kids, your family, they're acting in a way that you totally disagree with, that the wrath of man will not, in my family, produce the righteousness of God. Amen. It will not. If I scream, if I get angry, this is where the enemy will attack you. Listen to me. I'm preaching to myself. This is where the enemy will attack you. The wrath of man. Mama screaming. Daddy screaming. It is not going to produce the righteousness of God. What's going to produce the righteousness? The Message Bible says to love without stopping. Let everything you do be done in love. Everybody say love without stopping. Love without stopping. Screaming, ranting, punching the wall. Come on, somebody. Cussing, fussing. It's not going to produce the righteousness of God in your family. It will not produce the righteousness of God in your family. Men, listen to me. What produces the righteousness of God? Love without stopping. Love without stopping. You may not like everything that your kids are doing. You may not like some of the things your wife does. But God's word to you this morning, on this Father's Day, men, is I want to tell you now, love without stopping. Amen. Come on.